Welcome back to A Journey Through Lent with the Holy Fathers. Dave Orsborn in the St. Gabriel Radio Studio, along with Sister Maria Ecclesiae from the Daughters of Holy Mary of the Heart of Jesus. Good morning, Sister.
Good morning.
Can you start us with a prayer?
Yes, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we come before you on this day in which you instituted the Most Holy Eucharist. And we thank you for your Eucharistic presence in all the tabernacles of the world. Lord, if we cannot be close to you physically in a church or by a tabernacle in a chapel, we ask you to come into our heart right now as if we could receive you in Holy Communion. We desire to receive you, Lord. We want to be with you, and we want you to walk with us on this journey of Lent so that our heart may be configured to your own. So let us make together a spiritual communion. I wish, my Lord, to receive you with the same purity, humility, and devotion with which your Most Holy Mother received you, with the spirit and fervor of the saints. Lord Jesus, thank you for always being with us, and help us to know your will and to carry it out with joyful hearts. Our Lady of the Sacred Heart, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Today is Thursday of the third week of Lent, and we're going to be reflecting on a passage from Pope St. John Paul II's apostolic letter at the beginning of the third millennium in 2001. But these words are as true today as they were when he wrote them. Since baptism is a true entry into the holiness of God through incorporation into Christ and the indwelling of his Spirit, it would be a contradiction to settle for a life of mediocrity, marked by a minimalist ethic and a shallow religiosity. This idea of perfection must not be misunderstood as if it involved some kind of extraordinary existence possible only for a few uncommon heroes of holiness. The ways of holiness are many, according to the vocation of each individual. I thank the Lord that in these years he has enabled me to beatify and canonize a large number of Christians, and among them many lay people who attained holiness in the most ordinary circumstances of life. The time has come to repropose wholeheartedly to everyone this high standard of ordinary Christian living. That's from Pope St. John Paul II's apostolic letter at the beginning of the third millennium. Lots here, Sister.
Oh, and this is such a beautiful passage. It's so encouraging for us to know that we are called to the heights of holiness, to great holiness, to sanctity. And it is not by our doing, but as the Holy Father says, the incorporation into Christ and the indwelling of his Spirit. And then it's beautiful, he mentions, it would be a contradiction to settle for a life of mediocrity, marked by a minimalistic ethic and a shallow religiosity. And what a temptation that is, right? Sometimes just to go with the flow, just to do the minimum. But when you discover the riches of Christ, and I think there's two places that I'd like to highlight where we can discover these, in the sacraments and in prayer. And that sounds like nothing new, right? Nothing. There's no news there with that. But this is the beauty of our Christian faith, that we are called to be have this extraordinary existence, right? This ideal of perfection, and God gives us all the means to do it. And we have this universal call to holiness that is lived out in our ordinary circumstances, because perhaps the reality that we experience is very ordinary, day in and day out. But there is a special, you know, the grace that comes, the joy and peace that comes from seeking the will of the Father in everything. The joy that comes from love, which is the Holy Spirit poured out into our hearts in our ordinary life. And so often today, it seems that perhaps the temptation is to separate faith and life, that I have my life of faith. I go to Mass on Sunday. I have my practices of faith at home, but then I go out into the world And perhaps it's hard for me to bring up something that has to do with faith. We can say we're at Mass and we say, holy, holy, holy. And then we go out into the parking lot and who comments to, you know, their fellow parishioner, you know, God is so holy and this is what he's done in my life this week. Many times we don't connect that. We don't say we've just been praising God at Mass. And then we come out and we feel almost obliged in a sense to talk about, I don't know, the football game or, and it's fine to talk about football games, right? We can talk about these normal things as well. We ought to be normal human beings, but precisely within that normality, that extraordinary supernatural spirit, and to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. And he does so through the sacraments and through our interior life, which is much greater than what we could suspect. If we think of our human life here on earth, our natural life, but we have a whole other life, which is this eternal life, which the Lord offers to us. And just to highlight a few ways in which all of us in our ordinary Christian living, but the high standard that Pope St. John Paul II mentions here, says the time has come to repropose wholeheartedly to everyone this high standard of ordinary Christian living. And that would be simply to revisit these realities of our faith. First of all, our baptism, that I am a child of God, that I have the Holy Spirit dwelling within me. And our community of sisters, we are serving at St. Paul's in Westerville since we arrived at the end of October. And one of the first classes or one of the first experiences we wanted to bring the children to discover is that of the indwelling of the Holy Trinity in our soul. And we would give the example of just because, you know, I could pull down the blinds and tell you that it's night in the middle of the day, just because I don't acknowledge that reality, or maybe I even forget about that reality, it doesn't change it objectively. And so that the Holy Spirit has been poured out into my heart at baptism, and I forget that he's there, it doesn't change that he is no longer there. He's going to be there if I remember that or not. And so the Holy Spirit within us cries out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit is going to lead us in our daily journey. It is the Trinity who never abandons us. And today being a Eucharistic Thursday, our Lord, who is present with us and always wants to be in our soul. What a gift that we have, that we can do ordinary things with supernatural value, because by our baptism, they're joined to the merits of Christ. And then many of us, and I'm sure many of the listeners, you have been confirmed too. And do we tap into those gifts of the Holy Spirit? And maybe sometimes it even could be a little bit of an examination for us of saying, where do I see these gifts in my life? Are there moments when I have been able to savor the goodness of God, or have felt a draw toward heavenly things? Well, don't doubt that. That's the gift of wisdom that the Lord has given you in your confirmation. But maybe I'm expecting something greater than that, and so I don't value or I don't recognize that presence of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe I read scripture and something stands out to me. Well, that's the gift of understanding that is present within our soul. Thank you, Lord, for that gift, or fortitude, which we need constantly. If you are still Christian after journeying after your baptism, that's thanks to the gift of fortitude. That is not our human strength. And so we know the Lord is here with us, supporting us, upholding us in supernatural life. And then the Eucharist, right? We have the sacrifice and his presence, that everything is offered to the Lord when we go to Mass. So that moment of the offertory, if we place on the paten, our sorrows, our joys, our sufferings, our petitions, we give it all to him, and he in turn gives himself completely to us. That is extraordinary. That is the life of the Lord in us. He makes us one with him. He gives us himself for nourishment. He becomes our bread for the journey, and he remains in the tabernacle so that we can adore him, and he never abandons us. And then the other sacrament, which is probably the one that we more frequently would receive, is that of reconciliation. Not only do we receive forgiveness and self-knowledge, but the specific graces to combat our defects. And so keep going back to confession, because maybe we'll say, but I keep confessing the same things. Like, what did you want? New sins, right? but we want graces for those specific things that we confess. Maybe if that's of impatience or of pride, and the Lord is there waiting for us. And then another way in which we can live out this ideal of perfection, right? And it says, our Holy Father says, it must not be misunderstood as some kind of extraordinary existence, possible only for a few uncommon heroes of holiness, but rather normality, right? And so he offers us every day the opportunity to encounter him in prayer. And I would just like to highlight today the idea of Eucharistic adoration. We are blessed in our diocese that there are so many perpetual adoration chapels, and you don't have to be an expert on adoring our Lord to go and adore him. You don't have to know exactly what you're doing. That's okay. Our mother foundress, in one of her letters, said to us that if you go before the Lord, you are burned by the rays of the sun. That we want to be tanned, in a sense, by our Lord in the Eucharist. And when we go out into the sun, the physical sun, we don't do anything to get a suntan. Mm-hmm. We just have to be there. Well, the same way with us going to Eucharistic adoration, that if we are just there present. And in the Catechism, it tells us prayer cannot be reduced to the spontaneous outpouring of interior impulse. In order to pray, one must have the will to pray. Nor is it enough to know what the scriptures reveal about prayer. One must also learn how to pray. And so we need to have those set moments throughout the day when we go and pray. We go and we give that time to the Lord. And our mother founders would also say, part of in our vocation, we are contemplatives and missionaries. And she says, if we want to live constantly in the presence of God, we have to have specific moments of prayer. They have to be there. And Our Lady is the model for that. She constantly lived in the presence of our Lord. We know he was physically present in the home of Nazareth, but not without that heaviness of heart, which was the life of faith, knowing everything seems so normal, but she knew that he was the Son of God, and she pondered all these things in her heart. She brought them back, right? And so we have this beautiful prayer of the Rosary as well, which can model our life of union with God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.